If you brought your Bibles, I want you to pull out your Bible. You can turn or tap to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And I'm just going to share just a little bit about an important day, a very critical day in the life of Jesus. It was a critical day for him. It really appeared to be a very normal day for everybody else around him. It was a normal day in a little dirt town named Nazareth. Many of you maybe would notice or be familiar with the name Nazareth. It was Jesus' hometown, and it was a Sabbath day. And as normally the town would gather in the synagogue and just go through, read scripture together, talk about the scriptures together, and just have that community time. It would have been very, very similar to what we would call church, but they would go to synagogue, and it would be on the Sabbath. And as was normal, someone would get up and read the scriptures. And so there would be a liturgy involved and an assigned reading for the day, and someone would get up and read that. And so Jesus is back in his hometown on this Sabbath that we're going to read about here in Luke chapter 4. He goes to the synagogue, and he's going to read some scriptures. And this is where we pick up. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And he came to Nazareth, and where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written." And in verse 18, this is a quote from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, this is as it said, and I've already said, this is a quote out of the Old Testament prophet's book by the name of Isaiah. And Isaiah's book is full of predictions, prophecies, descriptions of what the Messiah would be, the Christ, as we might say in English, what the Christ would do, what the Christ would be, who the Christ would really be identified by. And so when Jesus reads this, this is a very important section of Scripture and in a very important day in the life of that synagogue and Jesus and us. He goes on in verse 20, we continue reading, "And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him." And then in verse 21, he says this, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now, when the Bible uses that word fulfilled, it means complete. It means, hey, this was a prediction, this was a prophecy from the Old Testament, and now in the moment that Jesus is speaking, he says, "This has been fulfilled in your hearing." He is claiming and proclaiming that he himself, Jesus, is the Messiah, the anointed one. That's what Messiah means, anointed one. Jesus is the anointed one. And when Jesus reveals himself as that Old Testament predicted, prophesied to come to pass Messiah, claiming these words to be of himself, fulfilled in the moment. This is an important day. As you might be able to imagine, all of these predictions and prophecies of what the Messiah would come and do, Jesus comes and says, "I'm him, it's now, it's go time." That's what Jesus did. And not only is he claiming these few verses that he read in Isaiah, but all of Isaiah's prophecies concerning himself all of the Old Testament prophecies. He was identifying himself as the central figure of all of Scripture. Now, you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but how many of us have ever been kind of mystified as we read the Bible? Like, what is God saying there? There's parts of Scripture that are very plain and very clear, but there's also some stuff where, like, I'm not sure what all that means. Know this, Jesus is the key to understanding all of Scripture. He's the central figure. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the One, the Anointed One. And in Him, all of Scripture is revealed. Now, this week and next week, this week I'm starting a sermon series and we'll continue it on. Next week we're going to talk about some of the proof that Jesus put forth to prove that He is and was the Messiah. And then we're going to talk about, for the next 5 weeks after that, some of the most important aspects of who Jesus is and how He proved it. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, this is where the title of this whole series is coming from. He says, He is the beginning, speaking of Christ, He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. Preeminent. Preeminent means before all things. He is exceedingly first in all things. And here's why this is important. Here's the big idea I want you to grasp. Some of you weren't here last week, but we read out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, and I'll read it to you. It's not on the screen, but I'll read it to you. This important realization that when we see Christ, when we see Jesus for who He is, and more clearly, it changes us. When we see Him, it changes us. And this is what it says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." Here's the big idea of this entire series, starting today, is that the more clearly we see who Jesus is, the more clearly we see who He's made us to be. So next week and the next 5 weeks after that, we're going to be looking at who Jesus is in depth, what He has done, what He claimed, and what He fulfilled, and how that changes us. Have any of you ever walked the Rachel Carson Trail? Okay, a couple of you. How many of you have ever heard of the Rachel Carson Trail? Okay, so it's like a almost 46-mile trail across the couple of rivers over the other side of the, like, Natrona Heights, Freeport. So this was something important. Rachel Carson once said this. She said, "The more clearly we focus our attention on the wonders and realities of the universe about us, the less taste we have for destruction." Let me say that again. The more clearly we can focus our attention on the wonders and realities of the universe about us, the less taste we have for destruction. Now she was talking specifically about ecology and some just really understanding the universe and things like that. But I want to take that, her quote, and just modify it a little bit for our purposes. Because the more clearly we see who Jesus is, the more clearly we see who He's made us to be. So I invite you back. I invite you back for next week and for this whole series. As we look at who Jesus is, we get a better sense of who we are. Who we are in Christ and what plans He has for us. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. We love You, and we thank You for this day. But also, Lord, we just pray. We ask that You would help us to understand You more, better, see You more clearly, and Lord, just reveal to us Your plans for us, what You've done, what You've accomplished for us. And we ask that You do these things in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So praise the Lord.